So today's reading is Proverbs 31, verses 10 to 31. You can find it on page 667 of the Church Bible. A wife of noble character, who can find? She is worth far more than rubies. Her husband has full confidence in her, and luck lacks nothing of value. She brings him good, not harm, all the days of her life. She selects wool and flax and works with eager hands. She is like the merchant ships, bringing her food from afar. She gets up while it is still dark and provides food for her family and portions for her servant girls. She considers a field and buys it out of her earnings. She plants a vineyard. She sets about her work vigorously. Her arms are strong for her tasks. She sees that her trading is profitable, and her lamp does not go out at night. In her hand, she holds the distaff and grasps the spindle with her fingers. She opens her arms to the poor and extends her hands to the needy. When it snows, she has no fear for her household, for all of them are clothed in scarlet. She makes coverings for her bed. She is clothed in fine linen and purple. Her husband is respected at the city gate, where he takes his seat amongst the elders of the land. She makes linen garments and sells them, and supplies the merchants with sashes. She is clothed with strength and dignity. She can laugh at the days to come. She speaks with wisdom, and faithful instruction is on her tongue. She watches over the affairs of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children arise and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praises her. Many women do noble things, but you surpass them all. Charm is deceptive and beauty is fleeting, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Give her the reward she has earned, and let her works bring her praise at the city gate. This is the word of the Lord.
Heavenly Father, help both our words and our lives to sing of the goodness of God. Be with us now as we open your word, that it may challenge and encourage us to be wise people, wise in the execution of our lives and in the glorification of your name. For Jesus' sake, amen. I haven't actually done a count up, but I would estimate that it would be very easy for something like half the congregation here this morning, namely men, to give themselves permission to switch off. Or at least for husbands to nudge their wives and say, here we are, dear, this one's for you. Would you like me to take notes for you? What we have here is this wonderful picture of the noble wife, but I believe this picture of the noble wife is meant for more than married women. Although this is not the end of our series on Proverbs, this is the final chapter of Proverbs. And I believe the writer is having one last go at encouraging all believers, men and women, young and old, married or single, to live out the wisdom that has been unpacked in the previous 30 chapters. You see, many of the qualities demonstrated by this wife of noble character, as she's described, they've already been used to describe wisdom. Let me give you just three examples. The first is about value. It says at the beginning of our reading that the wife of noble character, who can find? She is worth far more than rubies. But twice, Proverbs has already said, she that is wisdom is more precious than rubies. Nothing can you desire can compare with her. And again, for wisdom is more precious than rubies, and nothing you can desire can compare with her. Or what about speech? We read in our passage verse 26, she speaks with wisdom and faithful instructions on her tongue. And then we have wisdom. Listen, I have worthy things to say. I open my lips to speak what is right. And thirdly, we see the provider. Again, the wife is described in verse 15. In verse 15, she gets up while it is still dark. She provides food for her family and portions for her servant girls. But we could go back to chapter 9 and verse 2 to see about wisdom. She's prepared her meal, her meat, and mixed her wine. She has also set her table. There is this tremendous parallel between this excellent wife and wisdom. Now, throughout this series, it's been emphasized that Proverbs describes what is generally true for most people. Yet here we have a situation which is not general, so much as quite exceptional. The household is described, it's almost aristocratic. The husband and wife are people of local prominence, as well as children. There are household servants. Put your hand up if you have household servants. No, I won't ask that, no. The woman has business opportunities, not necessarily open to most wives in King Solomon's time. So then, if this is not just about what women should be doing, how should we look at this passage? Let me suggest it goes something like this. Before some of you were born, back in the 1960s and the early 1970s, an Australian doctor called John Hercus wrote a series of books which consisted of Bible character studies. They're well worth reading. But he described the Bible as God's casebook. You won't be surprised, actually. The first two books in his series were called Pages from God's Casebook and More Pages from God's Casebook. To him, a medical casebook was an extreme example of an illness with blatantly obvious signs and symptoms. So by examining the extreme example, medical students would be better able to diagnose the less obvious versions of an illness. Now, in the Hercus books, there are extreme examples of both bad and good spiritual conditions. They help the reader detect, therefore, possibly in themselves, less obvious versions of those conditions and what to do about them. So what I believe we have here in our passage is a gloriously obvious casebook of wisdom. It's almost over the top, so you can see it clearly and then say, how does that apply to me? It's also important to remind ourselves what we mean by wisdom. It's not some kind of alternative to faith as a means of entering into a relationship with God. We've been hearing time and time again, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Wisdom is living out the fear of the Lord. Our relationship with our Heavenly Father through faith in Jesus Christ finds expression in transformed hearts and transformed lives. That's the wisdom bit, the transformed hearts and transformed lives. Wisdom doesn't make us Christians, but wisdom is for all Christians. So let me put it like this. Wisdom is the faithful use of the time, talents, words, and resources that God has given, and given to those of his children who seek them. Now, I'm going to assume that we're all comfortable with the bit that says, that God has given. The bit at the end. Our time comes from the Lord. I believe we will all accept that. All our capabilities, our talents, however hard we've worked for them and to develop them, they are still his gift to us. They come from him. And faithful words in any circumstance come from God. And whatever we might think of as my resources, they also come from his loving hand. So that bit I'm going to take for granted. So let's see how the beginning works, that wisdom is the faithful use of these things. So how does the wife of noble character help us to work out that faithful use bit? as we learn from what are, after all, concrete examples, some of the applications I draw out may not all apply to you. They may not apply to everyone. Some may even be offensive to you. But I would ask you at least to reflect on what I'm saying and think, do I need to reorientate my priorities to what the Bible says? So then, the faithful use. And the first thing I want to say is from this passage that wisdom is productive and beneficial to others. It is productive. Look at what this woman is doing. She selects wool and flax and works with eager hands. She is like the merchant ships bringing her food from... That merchant ship is not some kind of kick at her that she's too big. It's her capacity for doing things. She is like the merchant ships bringing her food from afar. She gets up while it is still dark. She provides food for her family and portions for her servant girls. She considers a field and buys it. Out of her earnings, she plants a vineyard. She sets about her work vigorously. Her arms are strong for her tasks. She sees that her trading is profitable and her lamp does not go out at night. In her hand, she holds the distaff and grasps the spindle with her fingers. I wonder, when did you last hold a distaff and a spindle? Yeah. Most of the activities described here are somewhat out of date, but we can perhaps imagine how productive these activities were in that society. She's talking about spinning. And this is in the days before they even had spinning wheels. It goes right back to a rod and a weight rotating. That primitive, but that valuable. It was productive. Now, I'm not saying it is wise to fill our lives with so much busyness that we end up wilting and discouraged. But equally, as we've seen this morning with Polly, productivity and working for the good of others do not fit with laziness. Yes, wisdom requires great industry in life's endeavors, but it can take many forms. For those in paid employment, there is the responsibility to one's employers regarding our attitude to work. Look at this attitude to work we find in here. She works with eager hands in verse 13. Or in verse 14, she's like the merchant ships bringing her food from afar. There is industry, there is activity. And 17, she sets about her work vigorously. Her arms are strong for her task. And if it's honourable work that we're called to do, then as Christians, we must engage in it honourably, working to God's glory as well as to our employer's benefit. And if it's not honourable, then dare I say it, we shouldn't be doing it. I remember one Christian friend who had been made redundant from a job which he really enjoyed doing. But he had also a sort of great interest in books. So he was recommended to a bookshop. Seemed to be a good fit. Only when he started, he found out that they had a large occult section. He felt he had to resign, even though it meant he would not get unemployment benefit for some time because he left so quickly. He chose wisdom over self-interest. Now, I'm not suggesting that every waking hour must be spent in making money. Beneficial does not just mean adding to the nation's gross national product. So often, of course, productivity has selfish ends. But the wisdom, this wisdom's productivity is not selfish. Look at, first of all, verses 11 and 12. Of this wife, it says, her husband has full confidence in her and lacks nothing of value. She brings him good, not harm, all the days of her life. She works for the well-being of her family. And then again in verses 20 and 21, she opens her arms to the poor and extends her hands to the needy. When it snows, she has no fear for her household, for all of them are covered in scarlet. That word translated scarlet could also equally be translated double thickness, and it makes a lot more sense in the cold weather. This is the woman who is beneficial to those outside who are in need, as well as inside. This is the call of wisdom, to be beneficial. And if we're not in full-time employment, either because of our youth or, in my case, because of the other end of the age spectrum, there are still opportunities to contribute positively to our society through voluntary work and to the church. And what about if we are not physically able? Well, we can still benefit others by being part of a vital army, the army of prayer warriors. Wisdom is productive and beneficial to others. But wisdom is also something that must be taught and lived in the home. Look at verses 26 to 29. She speaks with wisdom, and faithful instruction is on her tongue. She watches over the affairs of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children arise and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praises her. Many women do noble things, but you surpass them all. Now, I am not trying to say from this that a married woman cannot go out to work. There's a different direction of these verses I want to emphasize. It is this: Christian parents, husbands and wives, and sometimes Christian grandparents, do have a great responsibility for the nurture of the next generation, their nurturing the faith. It's an amazing opportunity that they have to nurture the next generation in the faith that they themselves hold dear. And it's done through both their words and their actions. I believe that spiritual nurture must not just be left to the Sunday club leaders and the hot shops leaders, although we're very grateful for them. And if we're not in that position where we would be the parents of those youngsters, we can still pray for Christian parents who are in this church. Do you do that? Do you pray with intelligence? Many of you have been parents of young children. You know what it's like. Do you pray for those who are parents of young children, that they may be faithful? Now, I know bringing anyone to faith is only ever a work of the Holy Spirit, but Christian parents should be the most important resource that the Holy Spirit has to work with. And as I said, it is words and actions. So first one can say is that wisdom must be taught. The home for a child of Christian parents must not just be the place where they do homework or watch a screen, with everything else taking place outside the home. A parent's time should not just be about ferrying offspring from one activity to the next. Genuine family time, however it's organized, is not wasted time. And with so many influences in the world against Proverbs wisdom, against the gospel, the words of Christian parents are of crucial importance. Both husband and wife, father and mother, they speak with wisdom and faithful instruction is on their tongue. The words of Christian parents are of crucial importance. They are the ones who are in a position to build up young lives in their faith at just the point where that faith is under attack at that moment. But it's also true that wisdom has to be lived out as well as taught. And it has to be lived consistent with what is taught. Our actions influence children far more than sometimes we realize. It is frequently true that children will learn more from what they see in us than what they see us do, than what they hear us say. When our children were growing up, Ruth and I did rather bang on a bit about commitment. They didn't belong to many groups outside the home, but we expected them to be committed to those they did belong to. I hope we gave them a good example. Something must have clicked at some point, because now that they've each are growing up as disciples of Jesus Christ, it's a joy to see them living out their commitment to him in their regular service to his church, even if it means we don't see much of them. Commitment, or whatever it is that we do, is what we will teach our children. Now, I hope it's been clear that whether we are married or single, any Christian can be a man or woman of noble character, a truly wise person. Now, it would be possible to conclude from what I've said that wisdom could be described as balanced living, giving attention to domestic responsibilities, business enterprise, and service for others. Full stop. I say could be described, but if we thought this was all there was to wisdom, then we'd miss out on wisdom's richest aspect. We need to keep coming back to that. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And if I can put it in New Testament terms, wisdom does not replace entering a relationship with our Heavenly Father through faith in Jesus Christ. It stems from it and works out what that change means in our everyday life. The persons of noble character, they are gospel-hearted men or women who long for God to be seen in whatever they say or do. Their life is not divided between parts that God is concerned with and parts where other things take over. Every part of that person's lives comes increasingly under the Holy Spirit's rule. In fact, it's wrong to talk about parts of their lives. For each person like that, it's a whole. It is all that they are under Christ's rule. It is all one, a whole life lived to God's glory. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, you have given us so much of yourself that we may understand and put into practice. We pray that we may indeed work out what it is to be wise in this world, taking the examples we see in your word and applying them to ourselves and to our situation. Grant us, we pray, the wisdom to do that well, to your praise and glory. Amen.